fight. Ars of Sifiri is proudly hosted by Red Nation Online. We can be found on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and everywhere else you find your favorite podcasts.
Welcome to Hours of the Fury, episode 46. This is your host, John. Here with me is the usual crew, Tim.
Hey.
And Ryan.
Hello.
How is everybody feeling? Three wins back-to-back at home. First of the league. Combined standings. Fall season standings. We're the frickin' best team right now.
Woohoo! Everyone is below us.
Can't wait for promotion.
I'm going to have to talk about that, Ryan.
What? We're first.
Yeah. You guys were actually at the games. I took this wonderful Fury week off. What a week to take off, eh? But you guys went to all three last games. Obviously, we're only going to discuss the last two because we already discussed the other one in the last excellent pod with Kendra. So should we go right into the Atlanta game that was last Wednesday?
Where have you been all week?
Oh, I was at a wedding in Nova Scotia, and then I was at a cottage, and I just ate a lot of food, got really fat.
So you weren't playing PS4 all week?
No, that's what I wish I had done.
Yeah,
so the attendance figures was not as high as we'd hoped, but it was a Wednesday game, so to be expected, 3,459.
That was one of the really hot. They're all really hot days. But was Wednesday hot, or was it the day it rained in the middle?
Wednesday wasn't too bad because it was the evening, but it still wasn't, cool. But I think Blues Fest was still going on.
It ended Sunday.
There's no way.
But maybe people were still at Le Breton Flats. Just like lying in the grass.
Melted to the ground. Let's go with the starting 11. So we had Traffitt, Falvey, Alves, Richter, and Pizer in our defensive block. And we should mention that these guys have played in that starting position since maybe early May. And then Pizer, Falvey, Richter.
Alves.
And Alves, they have not missed.
They played all 15 games.
And have they been subbed off?
I don't think so.
They played every minute, too.
I think they... Yeah, Pizer's played every minute, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's pretty crazy. And then we had Mauro Eustaquio, Richie Ryan, and Philip Davies in the midfielding positions. Haworth as the left winger, Oliver as the right winger, and then Tommy Heinemann up top.
Yeah.
So let's discuss the game for a little bit. If I remember correctly, first half, Atlanta was a little bit better, eh? At least at the beginning.
I noticed that Atlanta was really cramming the midfield.
Spreading everyone out.
They pushed their defenders forward.
Yeah.
And they just tried to have the Fury beat them in the mid. And I think the Fury is kind of having problems with it early on, and they just kind of tended to lob it up to Heinemann, which didn't work out too often.
Yeah, the team was really spread out, especially in the midfield. There was huge holes, and that was Atlanta's tactics. And it was kind of working for them, but I think the midfield did well. I was really impressed with Eustaquio. Mm. He was all over the place, and he was making good passes, good runs.
Yeah, I'd have to say, if there's one player that surprised me the most this season, it's probably Mauro. Because from last season, I didn't think that he'd be someone that would get as many minutes. But he's been perfect, basically, when he comes on the pitch. And he's a good replacement for De Guzman when he needs a break. So I'm quite impressed with him as well. We may as well discuss the penalty that was called against him. That happened later in the game, because we're talking about him right now. I thought that was super soft. What do you guys think?
I didn't get a good look at it, but from what I saw from the replay, it looked like he had possession of it, or the ball.
He didn't touch the ball, but it was like whoever got fouled was really waiting for it and took advantage of that.
Yeah, but to be fair, I think our penalty was a bit of a makeup call.
Yes.
Yeah. That was not a penalty either, no. Like, where is he going to put his freaking arm? Like, he has it in a natural position. It's unintentional, you know.
Yeah.
But in a sense, it was fair that they gave us that call. Now, yeah, the biggest talking point of the match has got to be Kyle Haworth's goal. Who set him up?
In the Atlanta game? Yeah. Haworth, I don't remember that. I remember Richie Ryan's goal. Who set up Carl's goal?
I don't remember. I just remember him dribbling in, cutting on the defender, and just rifling it into the top of the net.
Yeah, and it was a beautiful goal. And what was that, his first of the season?
I believe so.
Yeah.
And his second followed the next game.
Yep. What else was there to discuss in that game? We pretty much just held on to the lead once we had scored. No, Richie Ryan took a really nice penalty in the 73rd minute.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was nice to see Davies back, but I thought he had a bit of trouble. I remember there was one time he was going down the wing, and the wing was kind of open, and he just kind of stopped and waited for some more support, and I thought that was kind of odd. And that was a little time before he got subbed off. But it's nice to see him back in the starting lineup again. He's, you know, very versatile.
Yeah, that's one of the problems, though. Like, he's really versatile, which is great, because he can play pretty much anywhere, but he's not good enough in, like, any position to actually be a starter. But you need someone like that in the squad. You know, if you have injuries or running out of players, he's certainly someone you can basically put anywhere.
Wasn't it the first time we saw Ali Hassan? Was it in the Atlanta game?
No, that was the game after. I know they all kind of meld together. Oh, he was subbed on for the first
time.
Yeah,
it was the first time we saw him. He came on for... Should have seen the dirty look I just gave John. No, he came on for Heinemann, and Heinemann, like, scuffed a ball really bad. Do you remember that?
Yep.
Right at the top of the box, top left of the box there. And he scuffed a ball really bad, and then Super Tom chant started. and then he was subbed off, like, right after. And I kind of felt like that was Dos Santos saying, like, you don't perform. We got this other guy here.
Yeah.
I know, I just kind of got that feeling. And I thought Hassan looked good in his first game. He made a run. He was always in the right spot. And I thought he looked really, really good.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was Wednesday. Is there anything else you want to discuss about that?
No, I thought Atlanta would have some, like, little bit dangerous attacks, but nothing.
Yeah, I thought Atlanta played particularly well. They're probably disappointed they got the loss. They played a lot better than their record shows. I know Simon mentioned the guy who got the handball for them in the box and got a yellow card. He had a great game. He's probably one of the most underrated defensemen in the league. And he was pissed off when he got the yellow card and the penalty, and probably rightfully so.
Yeah, and, you know, I think Atlanta's a better team than their record, and they've made a lot of changes. They made, like, those six signings in between the spring and the fall, so it's they're definitely a new-look team. They're not making the top four. Let's not get carried away, even though the league is pretty tight. But I'm just going to go out on a limb and say they're definitely going to be on the outside. But, yeah, I think what we were saying at the end of the game was, can we play you every game? was the song that rang out at the end, so...
Yeah, so that was great. You know, two wins out of two at that point, and then we played our third game, and that was against the Carolina RailHawks. And this is where we saw Ali Hassan for the very first time up front, Wiedemann on the right, Paulo Jr. on the left, and then Richie Ryan and Mauro Eustáquio in the center again, and then Haworth actually started in that... area where we usually have the three midfielders, and then of course the back was the same as usual. So this was it was an interesting game, especially the first half, I thought. Ali Hassan scored his first goal. Beautiful header. I think the cross came from Paulo Jr., if I remember correctly.
Yeah, beautiful header.
And that goal was exactly like one of those goals that Tommy Heinemann, I think, would never have scored.
Yeah, I saw you write that. I was wrote on a schedule, and I thought the exact same thing. I'm like, Tommy Heimlin would never score that goal.
That was a great goal, and it was pretty early on, too, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was the 20th minute or so.
So he's less than like 40 minutes in his career, you know, because he played a few minutes of the game before, and he scores his first goal for the club. That's huge.
Yeah. But I remember last year when Tommy Heimlin came on in Edmonton that first game and he scored. And
yep, the header. Maybe one of the greatest goals in Fury history.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember how he ran towards the supporters section.
Yeah, Carlton, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's very a target-like striker as Heimlin is, but he just kind of brings a few things more to the table. I think he's a little faster. I think he's a little more agile.
Positioning.
Able to get the ball. I don't think he's as strong. And
don't think he's as fit.
No.
But I had to put that in. he holds the ball up better, and he passes it onwards faster, I find.
It's good, though. It's good to have the competition up front and have the players pushing each other, and I think that's what MDS is looking for.
Yeah, and actually, you know what you mentioned in the last game, how when Heinemann screwed up a few times, Ali Hassan came on, and actually the same happened in this game. Like, yeah. Ali Hassan wasted a pretty big chance, and then Dosanos was like, all right, it's Heinemann time.
Yeah, he's like playing FIFA.
We should mention that Pizer had another fantastic game for us.
Amazing saves.
Yeah.
There was one free kick from Nacho Novo from about 17 yards out that I don't know how he saved that, because it was just a bullet.
Yeah, and there was one in tight, too, that he just jumped straight up and saved. And I think that was a Novo shot as well.
Yeah, that came in the extra time of the first half. I remember that one.
Yeah. You know, Novo was getting all the attention this game, but I really have to say Cipollani is like the unsung hero. And Carolina has a lot of weapons in their arsenal, and they're a team I would probably imagine will be in the top four at the end of the season, because I don't see them slowing down. I see them just building, and I think it was a big deal that we beat them.
So yeah, one thing we should... Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, this is a huge game. This is probably, I think, probably the most important win the Fury have gotten in their history. There's going to be more to come, but Carolina, you know, we're fighting with that team for probably the fourth or third spot if we don't win the fall.
Yeah, it was quite important that we got the win in the end, because in the combined standings, there would have been like four teams tied for first place, and now we're on top.
Yeah, but you know, I think the top five teams are separated by 3 or 4 points. So we'll get into that in detail later, but there's a...
And the Cosmos still have a game or two in hand, so...
Right, but they're not performing whatsoever.
And it's the problem. If you win the spring season, like, you got nothing to play for in the fall season.
And if you go to Cuba and party too much, maybe you come back.
Yeah. Cheap rum.
They haven't won since... They haven't got a full 3 points since their trip to Cuba, so...
Yeah, they're not a young team.
No, and they might be getting older, and we'll talk about that later in the show, too.
I'm just going through my game notes here. There were quite a few chances on either end in this game. Especially after Carolina equalized, the Fury got so freaking motivated, they just wanted to win this goal. Like, there's a chance behind him, and that was like a diving header that he just missed. There was a beautiful cross from Kyle Haworth that Alves headed over or wide or something. And then there was another Heinemann header that went into the side netting. Or maybe just on top of the behind the crossbar.
Yeah.
Richie, let's go ahead.
I really think the game changed when De Guzman came in. And I'd like to say that Wiedemann, who came off for De Guzman, Wiedemann had a really good game. And he had a lot of pace. And I think he might be on some sort of enhancing drugs or something. He's so fast all of a sudden.
I think it was that move out to the wing that he just finally settled down there, and he's doing really, really well.
Yeah, I was really impressed with Wiedemann's.
Yeah, Wiedemann also had, like, what he did really well, I thought, like, when we're counter-attacking, he would wait for the overlapping run and then pass it right at the right moment. There were a couple scenes that I remember. and just good passing overall and making chances and being selfless.
Yeah, it's really impressive play. But when De Guzman came on, that's when the play just stayed in the other end. And it was just attack, cross after cross.
Yeah, and De Guzman was up front, right? He wasn't doing his usual defensive midfield.
Yeah,
he was running around up front.
He was right up. He was top of their box quite often.
Yes. And then freaking Kyle Haworth scores the winner in the fifth minute of additional time.
Oliver!
With a beautiful finish.
I love the highlight. Because it's clearly Haworth and, like, amazing. And then the TV announcer's like, Oliver! Oliver!
Is that the Rogers one?
Yeah, I think it was the Rogers feed. So if you watch, you go on YouTube and on the official Ottawa Fury YouTube and they watch the Kyle Haworth goal, it's hilarious.
But what a week for Kyle Haworth. Playing in all kinds of different positions and scoring two goals. He's the NESL Player of the Week.
And
well deserved.
For people that don't follow the Fury that closely or from out of town, Haworth is kind of a homegrown player, I would say, right? He played with us.
Yeah.
Before, right?
In the PDL. Yeah, he played, I believe, in Kingston in the PDL, and then he came to Ottawa, and he had, like, stunning performances for both teams, like, was the top scorer for both of them, I think. So we always knew that he had potential. And I think Dos Santos is a huge fan of him, because he never gives up on him. Like, he, you know, if he doesn't play as a winger, he'll just stick him somewhere else, just so that he's playing.
Yeah, it's really nice to see, like, some local players. Not just... You know, you can win with Canadian players, mm-hmm. and you can win with local players, too.
Yeah. It's nice to see Haworth crossed by Richter. Just beautiful. But even if he didn't score the goal, I think we'd still be talking about Haworth, because he played so well in the midfield where he doesn't play at all. I thought he had a really good game.
Another player I'd like to highlight is Colin Falvey, because a friend of the show, Teo, who writes for, what does he write for, Northern Starting 11, or?
No, Total NASL.
Total NASL, yeah.
I just name them all.
No, he always mentions Colin Falvey, so this time when I rewatched the match, I paid close attention, and he is such a hard man. Like, there's some tackles in that game where he just completely destroys the players, but it's fair. Like, he gets it all ball, and, like, it's just beautiful to watch. If you like, traditionally hard defenders, he's your guy.
Yeah, I was reading an American blog, and they were talking about the Ottawa Fury in detail, and quite a large article, and they called it the Great Wall of Ottawa. Felvey,
yeah.
Alves, Trafford, and Richter. And I was like, that's cool. Like, they, and this nickname's come from, like, outside of the normal local press. So.
Yeah, and since we're discussing the defense in detail, Ryan Richter, to me, is probably the second biggest surprise for me of the season, because when he first came, like, he kind of botched his debut. Like, he was sent off in his first game, and he never really looked that good until the very end of the fall season. So I didn't think that he was going to be, like, a marathon man for us, but, like, I can't think of not playing him now. He's amazing for us now.
No, he's just solid every game. Like, I don't think there is one bad game that doesn't do anything particularly outstanding, but he's just solid, and he's so confident on the ball and so calm and not afraid to move up.
Exactly. He's going up more. Yeah,
and I think the players you play with make you better. Like, they push each other so much. And when you're playing next to Alves, like, you're going to be a better player. Mm-hmm. Playing next to Falvey, you know, and they work off each other. And I like seeing that. We didn't see that as much last year. There's a lot of individual efforts and things like that. And this feels like more of a solid, solid team. So.
Oh, did we mention that there was a sending off for Carolina in this game? Because that must have had an effect.
Someone explain to me how that happened.
I watched it on TV, and it's not apparent on TV either that someone got sent off.
At the game, I thought it was a second yellow. It was a second yellow.
Yeah.
He got his first yellow right then. So I don't know what the first yellow was.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Maybe it has something to do with his name, Wells Thompson. If I had a name like that, I'd have a lot of anger, and I would get mad at the referee, too.
You'd probably be a better poet.
It'd be a bank in, like, Iowa. Wells Thompson. Come into Wells Thompson.
So attendance-wise, it was back up to 5,175, so that's good. Hopefully we can build on that. Would be nice to see like 6,000 or so at the next game, or maybe more even.
Yeah, there's a lot of hype around town right now. A lot of newspaper articles, not just in a traditional Sun Citizen, but outside sources, CBC. French papers had like full page. The day of the Drogba signing, they had a full page of Fury and then half a page of Drogba. I was like, okay, sure.
And for the first time ever, I had like coworkers at work coming up to me and being like, yeah, we heard on the radio, Ottawa number one. You know, like before, there was never a headline except the strangling of Oliver on the airplane.
Yeah.
There's never been people coming up to me about the Fury.
Yeah, it's this town likes it when their team wins. We saw it with the Senators in the past when they made the big cup run. And yeah. And we saw what happens to teams that lose season after season too. How people don't show up for them. So it's definitely a winning team's market.
Well, then this was a fantastic week for the city and obviously for us with 3 wins out of 3 home games in a row. So let's take a break for now, and then we'll bring you some Fury-related news and we'll get into some listener questions.
You can find us on Twitter at OITFury. Email us at oursisthefurypodcast@gmail.com or look us up on Facebook, Ours is the Fury. It's fine.
Welcome back, guys. So let's go through some Ottawa Fury related news and rumors. Not too much this week. We already mentioned that Carl Haworth was named the NASL Player of the Week. He's only the second Fury player in franchise history to do that. Oliver did it last year. And then Pizer became the NASL Player of the Month once. So that's a different category.
How was Pizer the Player of the Month and not get Player of the Week?
Because he's just missing that thing every week, but he's
second
overall.
Place every week. Okay, I gotcha.
I guess the goal for Haworth that he scored against Carolina is up for play of the week. Has that been voted yet?
I don't know if it's final, but you got to get out there and vote if you're a Fury fan, because he was only at 15% this afternoon when I checked. So.
Oh, yeah, the Minnesota guy, what's his name? His name is, like, Hassan something.
Ali Hassan.
Yeah, he scored one of the most beautiful goals I've ever seen.
Okay. Was it from, like, half?
Cause no, he just, but he's, like, in front of the keeper. He's in the box, but fairly far out. And, like, instead of just striking it, he just sort of casually lobs it in. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, I remember. Actually, I think I watched that game, so... But still, he's not wearing a Fury jersey, so he should probably go vote very quickly. Like, stop whatever you're doing and go vote, NASL.com.
We already mentioned how great Pizer is, but we should say that he's leading with 42 saves this year, and he has the lowest goals per game average with 0.87.
Which is impressive because he's played every regular season and cup minute this year.
Yeah, he's played every single minute, that's right. What's also interesting is we're literally one win away from equaling our last year's points total.
What?
And we have how many games to go? Like 15?
Yeah, we're halfway through the season, officially.
Yeah. I tweeted yesterday, we have double the points we do this year than we had last year.
At the same time.
Yeah.
This time last year. So we already beat last year's point total. But there's more. Is there more games this year?
Jacksonville being in.
So that's even more impressive.
No, it's less impressive, isn't it?
No, because we're only... we're only halfway. So.
It's the same impressive. It's 15 games in,
15
games in.
Okay, thank you.
We're 15 games in and we're beating last year's total, so...
Only Fort Lauderdale and us are still undefeated in the fall season, and we are undefeated, I think it's 10 games in a row, if I remember correctly.
1-0. And we're going into Edmonton. next week. So.
Well, we're not going to Edmonton, though, because they're having another one of those weird games held in Fort McMurray that nobody's interested in. That should work to our advantage, though, because they may not have all their usual Edmonton fans there. So.
And both teams have to travel, which it is still quite a... it's not a long flight from Edmonton, but it's still a pain to go down to Leduc and then fly up to Fort McMurray. So, yeah. And I think we can fly direct or fly here to Hamilton to Fort McMurray. We don't have to do the hops as much.
There's no news yet on the German-Turkish striker that, you know, a lot of outlets, including Chris Hoffley and Midfield Press with Stuart, have already kind of said that he's pretty much signed, but nothing official yet from Fury side.
But he has been at the games, and...
he's trained with the team.
He's training, like... Oh, I didn't go to the last practice or anything, but yeah, he's been training with the team, and he's walking around town in a Fury jacket, so...
Yeah, maybe it's just a matter of time. I don't know what the hold up is there. Might be visa issues, I don't know. We don't know anything about Polcineri's contract extension. The Fury haven't said anything about that.
Ubi has a concussion.
Well, wasn't it just like he was sitting up because they were fearing that it might be a concussion?
No, I think it's officially a concussion. He tweeted that he has a concussion, so.
Oh, okay.
And that's where we get all our news.
Twitter!
No. but yeah, so I don't know. Like, I might expect him out for a couple weeks. You know, it's something you take pretty seriously. I hope they take seriously and make sure he's ready to play when he comes back.
Yeah, Henry's always pretty dangerous and probably should be taken seriously and give him the time off he needs. And really, we got the players behind him to kind of come in and
so do well. You guys have been talking about the academy match at the last pod that I missed. Has there been an academy game since then?
No, last week was a Quebec Cup, and Fury Academy are already out of the Quebec Cup.
Okay.
Yeah, they lost their home and home. But they are back in action August 1st. That we were mentioning before, if you want to visit beautiful Kirkland, Quebec.
The Smiley Soccer Park.
Yeah. So that game's August 1st at 3 p.m. They take on Lakeshore SC out in Kirkland, which isn't that far from Ottawa. So it's a nice little drive.
So more realistically would be the next home game, which is when?
August 22nd against Blainville.
Alrighty.
So, and it actually, we're going to try to get a lot of our friends out to that game because it's one of the last home games and stuff. And the academy team's really good.
Mm.
And you're going to see a few of these players on the first team in the next couple of years.
It's very entertaining soccer.
Yeah, it's definitely worth the price of admission.
Cool. So then I also wanted to mention that some of us are thinking of maybe driving to Indianapolis for the Fury against Indy game. When is that, August 8th?
Yeah, August 8th, 7:30 in Indianapolis.
Yeah, so if anyone is mad like us and is interested in coming with us to the game, let us know. You know how to get in touch with us.
Ours is the Fury at podcast@gmail.com.
/#Twitter. Okay, speaking of getting in touch with us, we do have questions from our listeners this week. Thank you for engaging with us, guys. We certainly appreciate it. Andrew wants to know, he is at @BBSC_KIRITN. Does anyone know how hot it's getting down on the pitch during these afternoon games? 30 degrees, 35, more? So, I haven't experienced it myself, but I remember from the Women's World Cup games, they basically said you can add like an extra 10 degrees. Like it gets so much hotter on the pitch.
And it burns your feet through the shoes. No, but Felvey was saying like it was hot. Like they're joking. They're saying, oh, how was it out there? And Felvey's like, well, I played in India.
Yeah.
So... But yeah, it must be, if it's 30 degrees in the stands, I imagine it's 35 to 40 on the pitch.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
And they're in the direct sun. There's no shadow. Like, they're right over. So the next question.
It's from Carson at 613TZGain. Is their recent success A, a product of pressure to produce or replace, or B, a team of guys finally clicking together?
So I think it's a bit of both. Yes, we are a deeper team now, and like we have players for every position. So a competition is a good thing. And we've been discussing this with our strikers. You know, it's good that they know there's someone there. If they don't produce, it gives them some pressure. But I lead more strongly towards us finally clicking together.
Yeah, plus minimal injuries compared to last year. Like, it's really unfortunate that we have Patterson out. And, you know, now that Ubi's out. So we're getting a little thinner in the midfield. But Eustachio's really stepped up, and Richie Ryan's been amazing. And Julian de Guzman's doing what he's brought here to do. So, but I think that's a big difference between this year and last year.
Yeah, I think a lot of players in the NASL, especially they're on 1 or half year, 2 year mm-hmm. contracts the most, so they're always being pressured to do well or be replaced. So I don't think it's been added anymore this year. But I think it's everyone's kind of buying into the system now.
Yeah. And the quality of the team and the league seems to be higher this year.
For sure. So Matt Bafia, with the same name on Twitter, wants to know who's winning the EPL this year. So I gotta admit, I don't actually watch that much Premier League. I'm more of a Bundesliga kind of guy when it comes to European leagues. I do watch the big games, but I'm gonna say Chelsea because they just have the best squad, and yeah.
I'm gonna leave this one for the Englishman.
Well, since Hull City got unfortunately relegated. I think Man United is going to come back this year.
Wow, that's optimistic.
Yeah, I had to look up EPL to see what it meant. No, I'm just kidding. I'm getting tweets about that one.
Yep, and then there's another listener question about Ali Hassan, but we've kind of discussed him in great detail already in the first section of the podcast. Now, we also asked our listeners a question this week, and that was, are the Ottawa Fury the most likable team in Canadian sports? Yes, no, why, or why not?
So, I asked this question kind of on a whim when John wasn't here. And John goes, what's the question this week? And then he instantly replies, no. So obviously the Canadian women's national team. I was like, damn, you're right.
So, this question didn't get a lot of responses. We'll try to do better this week, which reminds me we have to come up with a question, guys.
Oh, we got 10 minutes or so.
So Tajik, who's at OTT Soccer Dad, says, does anyone outside of the Ottawa actually pay attention to the team other than Sol Brew and Corfon 12, who are, I guess, big outside Ottawa Fury fans? I guess some people pay attention to us. The Canadian soccer community certainly doesn't, I would imagine.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean they're not likable. But I think the story of the Fury, like, this kind of hurts that we're not on, like, TSN or even, like, RDS even. Like, we're not on some sort of national television. Is like, the story of this team is amazing. And the storylines in this league right now are amazing.
And the league, the parody of the league is insane.
Yeah, and, like, the rise of the Cosmos, the fall of the Cosmos, what's happening in Minnesota. Like, it's just great storylines. And if I noticed there was like a little campaign to get the CBC to start covering NASL, like just putting the scores up and stuff. And I think if this league had that national attention, people would fall in love with this team.
I'm on the other foot in the States with it being at ESPN3. And now One World Sports, it's been a fantastic year for all this coverage now that, you know, the league is so, you know, close together. Every game's tight, every game means something. The level of play is better every year.
Yeah, and you're starting to see, like, a lot of people from the outside starting to, like, from the States to the other markets, starting to pay attention to the Fury. And, like, noticing the Falvies, noticing Pizer, and talking about them, so.
Yeah, so the FC Edmonton fans definitely pay attention. We actually had a response from the loyal company, River Valley Supporters Group, or whatever they're called. They're a good bunch of guys, and they actually have a podcast themselves that I listen to about SCM, and you can check it out. They're at Loyal Company RV on Twitter. And they say, actually, in our opinion, FC Edmonton is the most likable team in Canada due to the grit and determination they showed on this last road trip. We talk about it in episode 18. Of course, we're slightly biased. yeah. And another thing I was going to mention that sort of fits in this segment is, on Reddit, I was sort of reading the comments underneath the Carolina Ottawa Fury highlights, and people were saying, like, Ottawa is so boring and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
It's like, of course they're jealous because we're number one, let's face it. But, you know, given the budget that we have, I think it's pretty amazing what we see day in and day out, right? Like, what do they expect? Like, how can we possibly be more impressive?
I think Pizer needs to start scoring goals. no, the team is amazing. MDS has done an amazing job. And I don't want to talk too highly of him. Because I want him to stay here, and I don't want people to discover how great of a manager he is. After the game, I don't know if you guys saw, but they're doing their press scrum like they normally do, and Mark had some water. Obviously, they poured a little water over him or something in the dressing room. He comes out, and he's like, I just have one thing to say. I want you to interview my players. They're all warriors. And then he just walked away.
Yeah.
he's just so much fun to like, and I wish the local press here in Ottawa would like realize what he's giving them instead of complaining about comments like that.
Mm.
Like realize like that's gold. Like that's a story right there in itself.
For sure. So let's take another break, and then we'll give you some NASL news, and we'll go through the other matches quickly and preview the game against FC Edmonton.
You're listening to the Hours as a Fury podcast. Don't forget to rate us on iTunes.
Welcome back, guys. So let's see what happened in the league and during the last match day. So I'm going to be honest with you guys, I was on vacation, so I didn't actually pay attention to those games. I wasn't able to watch any, so I'm going to rely on you guys for that stuff.
We could watch them, and we did watch them.
It was great.
They were all streamed on the NASL website. It was amazing.
Yes.
I didn't have to, like, do piratey, hackety things.
You actually watch
it. Just watch a game.
Cool. Oh yeah, before we go into every game, let's just go through some general news that came up this week. So the Cosmos announced something, right?
They're just doing a big 19 Academy teams are joining their system. And what I thought was kind of weird, but good for them, I guess, is the Brooklyn Italians are one of those Academy teams. So a team they play in the U.S. Open Cup is joining their academy system. So they're really expanding their network of players throughout New York and New Jersey. So it's going to be good for them.
So and the USL is expanding to Reno, Detroit, and Cornwall, Ontario?
Well, that was a joke, but the USL seems to be going everywhere. Reno is the latest. Albuquerque's been talked about. They really want a team in Detroit, but it's not Detroit City FC.
Yeah, it's kind of, I read that article and it seems odd that the USL is trying to get teams now, but they want teams that fall into the D2 structure.
Have the 5,000 seat stadiums.
Yeah. It just seems kind of dumb. I mean,
I can take that league seriously until they get rid of the farm team thing. I know it's a big boost for them financially, like to have the salaries paid for and all that. But it's hard to, it's not bad soccer, like the top teams. The Rochester Rhinos are just destroying right now. And they're a team that I would love to see in our league because they have that great history and they've always been solid. But.
Yeah, it's just really bad that like, the Rochester Rhinos, like you said, Pittsburgh, Louisville, all the big teams.
Louisville's a first-year team, too, this year.
And then they just got to play Montreal 2, Toronto FC 2.
Yeah. But if Sacramento and Louisville and those kind of clubs always played each other, that'd be great. Yeah. And there's all these markets that I wish would get looked at more, like Nashville's NPSL market. In Nashville, they have U.S. men's national team games there, and they sell out.
Yeah, I just...
But they don't have their own pro second division team.
I just wish that, like, the American system, quote-unquote, I just think they'd be much better to be the best league they can be instead of trying to be a better league than this other league or try to topple this other league.
Yeah, it's interests, and they want the market, and they want to dominate it. And they're not looking to share, I don't think. So,
yeah.
But moving on in the news, so as we said, you can stream all the games now, NASL.com.
So how did it look? Was the quality good?
It's like old VHS tape. A couple games.
It's the same as last year.
It's like similar to NASL Live? Or?
Yeah. But it's kind of cool because it's all on one page. So you can actually watch all the games on the same page.
You can watch them all at once.
Yeah.
But does it take like the ESPN3 live streams, or is it their own streams, or?
It's whatever the local stream
is.
Yeah,
it's the local stream. Cause I watch the indie guy who always like roots on the team.
Okay, so there is commentary and everything.
Yeah.
All right. Then, well, that's good news for everybody for sure.
Did you learn about Indiana tourism? Like last year? No.
Unfortunately.
Because we might take advantage of some of those.
For sure. And the Cosmos, they wanna. Sign another retiree from Europe, maybe, with Enzo Maresca, who's currently with Palermo in Serie A. Well, they have enough of those players.
I think he'd bring the average age of the team down because he's only 35 years old.
Well, he's a youngin.
He's a youngin for the Cosmos. I think the Cosmos should really, like players like Lucky, or like those are the impressive players. If they lost Lucky, that'd be a big loss. The other names are just that, names. They're not really scoring a lot of goals. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see players coming over from Serie A to play Division II American soccer. Okay.
Well, the Cosmos played against Indy 11 this weekend.
Guess what it was.
What do you mean, guess what it was?
Well, every time these teams have played, it's always been the same result.
It's always 1-1, right?
It's always a draw.
Yeah,
six times now.
Yep.
Good attendance, as we are expecting from Indy every week. Over 10,000 people.
Yeah, it's pretty... They're in the game. Like, Indiana could have won that one. Indianapolis, sorry. Yeah, they could have won that one, and a lot of pressure. They're a team that's greatly improved. They're really hard to watch last year.
Yeah, it's just one of those things that the Cosmos can't beat the 11.
it's awesome.
And it's weird when you stick it in with Ottawa, because Ottawa can't always loses to Cosmos, but we kill the Indy.
Yeah. It's just one of those great storylines in the league that these teams, it's like the only team that like gets points in New York, too, has been Indy, so it's really good story.
Yeah, and kind of a weird scheduling that Indy and New York have played twice already in the fall season.
So the Tampa Bay Rowdies hosted the Fort Lauderdale Strikers in the Florida Derby.
Some good baseball.
Coastal Cup.
Yeah, what's going on with Tampa? They're falling apart. Three in a row now?
Last three in a row.
Yeah. Maybe their coach is spending too much time on Twitter.
Yeah, with all his memes. Like, it's like nonstop. Is it actually him?
I think it's his daughter. No, I don't know who it is, but, you know, Strikers are really improved. You know, the new Brazilian owners have been putting money in the team. Unfortunately, PC got a goal. I hate it when he scores. I just don't like, he's probably my least liked player in the league. I don't know if you remember him. He was almost too pretty to, you know, play soccer that day, so.
Yeah, I caught this game at the end. I watch Freddie Adu come on, and then as soon as the Strikers scored their third goal, I kind of turned it off.
So welcome to the NASL, Freddie.
yeah, he came on in the 75th minute and assisted on a goal 4 minutes later. So.
And he was like, I'm not on the bench. I don't know what to do.
Which direction?
I'm Freddie Adu. What do I do? Yeah.
The American Pele.
The American Pele. Poor kid. So much expectation. But
it was a great result for us. I mean, it's why.
Yeah. Yeah, you want to see.
I mean, the New York draw and the Tampa Bay loss is why we were in first place. You know, he gave us that chance and we took it.
Yeah, you want to see those lower teams in the table either get the 3 points or draws have been the best. Been so many draws this season. And remember Maicon Santos? Mm-hmm. Apparently he scored in this game.
He did.
He's a beast. I'd love to see him in Ottawa. Not that we need a striker anymore. We're all loaded up now, but I always enjoyed watching him play, especially when he was with DC United.
So the game of the weekend was probably San Antonio against Minnesota United.
Oh.
What was the result there?
It was 4-3 for Minnesota. And we both watched this game, right, Tim?
Yeah, it was... Basically, San Antonio imploding on itself at home.
In every way. I'm sure the fans were, like, fighting each other. It was bad. It was, San Antonio has probably been, fallen the furthest out of all the teams from, well, they're the champions last year. And, I don't know, I'm just on cut to my favorite moment of the game. Hasley gets subbed on. How many minutes was it?
Not long.
Like, he's on for like 5 minutes, maybe. Yeah, not very long. And there's a foul called. And Hasley, it looks like he was going just to pick up the ball to place it for the free kick, you know, like hurry up, we're running out of time. And I thought he was just on to place it for Minnesota. And he picks up the ball and he just boots it out of the stadium, like over the seats. Instant red card. It's maybe the stupidest red card Hasley's gotten. And he's the guy who got the red card for the jersey under the jersey.
Yeah, I mean...
pulling off his shirt after a goal.
Was it a straight red or was it a second yellow?
It was a second yellow.
Okay.
But two yellows and...
But you're down. You're pressing forward.
Yeah.
You get a foul.
Trying to get the tying goal.
And then you waste time by kicking the ball into the stands, which gives you a red card.
He must be a total meathead.
To be a down guy.
He has to be a total meathead. Yeah, it's like... Wow. And minutes before, their coach was ejected.
Yeah, everyone seemed kind of confused about that, including myself.
Well, he was sitting down, and then, I don't know, he must have said something to the fourth official, or the referee thought he heard something, and he came right over and ejected him, and he just looked so surprised.
Two interesting things from a Canucks abroad perspective happened. Nana Atakora was subbed off in the 19th minute due to the injury.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's nice to see that Adrian Can seems pretty well recovered from his ACL injury last year. And he's scored. So that's good.
Yeah, in a losing effort. And Minnesota's really, like, they're trying to build this rivalry with San Antonio, and it's pretty one-sided right now. So
yeah.
Maybe pick a different team to have a rivalry with, one that you don't beat constantly.
Wouldn't the natural rival be FC Edmonton?
No.
They're both sort of like northern teams. And
But do you think anyone from Minnesota's ever been to Edmonton?
No.
Yeah. And do you think anyone from Edmonton's ever been to Minnesota?
Probably a couple people in Edmonton have watched the show Fargo, and that's all they know about
North Dakota.
Do they go to, like, they must just, like, the length of their conversation must be, like, dissing each other's malls.
Oh, yeah, Mall of America.
Versus
my mall's better than your mall. Or I'm nicer than you.
I saw Wayne Gretzky practice in my mall.
Dino Cicerelli's way better than Wayne Gretzky.
Save it for the Easter egg, guys. And then finally, FC Edmonton lost 1-3 at home to Atlanta Silverbacks. Which,
yeah.
Such a surprise given, you know, how Atlanta played here in Ottawa. And normally when Atlanta comes to Canada and plays two Canada games in a row, they usually don't come back happy.
Yeah,
so.
And I thought they'd be in rough shape with all the travel. But that Edmonton defense is porous. Like, they're number one in goals against. I'm really looking forward to this match against them.
Yeah. They're still missing Lance Lang from the Gold Cup. But still. But I thought Atlanta played well against the Fury. I don't think this is as surprising to me. But, yeah, I mean, FC Edmonton hasn't done as well. They really miss Lance Lang.
You know what was a surprise was the crowd in Edmonton was higher than normal.
Yeah, it was 4,232, which must be either their highest or second highest attendance ever, I think.
Yeah, and that won't be the same next week. Fort McMurray was a little over 1,000 people last time. Yeah. So that's too bad they can't build on that momentum.
Yeah, so speaking of FC Edmonton, that's the team we're going to face next. And I feel like we've played them like 100 times already, but that's the nature of having that playing game in the Voyageurs Cup and then playing against them 3 times a year. So it's probably a good time to face them. Hopefully Lance Lang is not completely recovered yet from his Gold Cup final loss.
Let's hope he's jet-lagged. I think everyone will be jet-lagged, so it doesn't matter. Both teams.
Yeah.
Yeah, it should be interesting. Fort McMurray, new stadium. Yeah, there's not going to be a lot of fans there.
So maybe the USL should expand there.
Maybe.
They'd have more fans than they do in New Westminster.
But it's Edmonton, just one of those teams that kind of always has a Fury's number. Beat them twice in the V Cup this year, both times 3-1. We did draw them 0-0 here at TD Place in May. Yeah, I think we only won that one game.
Maybe it's time we finally beat FC Edmonton in Edmonton.
But not just beat them, like blowout beat them.
I'll take a 1-0. I'd be happy with that.
Yeah, I'll be happy with a 1-0 too.
Yeah, let's predict. What do you guys think it's going to be?
I'm going 2-1 Fury.
I was going to go 2-0 Fury.
All right, I'm going to go for a tie here. I'm going to say it's going to end 1-1.
Have you watched FC Edmonton lately?
No, but like we always have such a hard time there, and I know we're a much better team now. We can't just win every match. Like, that's insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Sunday, August 2nd, 4 o'clock. That's Eastern time.
So they're doing a watch party at
Preston Heart and Crown.
Preston Street Heart and Crown. So they've been pretty good with those.
I have to be honest, like I'm not the hugest fan of the way they put it up there, because they put it on the tiniest screens, they don't turn the volume up completely, and I prefer watching at home.
Yeah.
Seems to be a mix now that it's now the official watch party, Stoney Monday Riot's watch party, and now Bytown Boys' watch party.
Yeah.
So that was kind of cramming people in there.
Yeah, but it's time to expand, I think, if they get more more Heart and Crowns or like... Or more bars. If you're a bar owner, I can guarantee you a good crowd of 20 people at least to watch this game every away match. So maybe it's something to look into.
For sure. One other thing I want to mention about SCM, and I know I should have said it earlier, but this is regarding one of my favorite players, Hanson Boakai. So apparently he was late for like a team meeting, like half an hour late. So Colin Miller suspended him, so he's not going to play. And like Colin Miller went quite public about this. And was like, he's like, I am not a freaking babysitter, you know? Like, what is this kid doing, man? He seems like a total tool.
He is your favorite player on that team. And we heard it last year, sleeping in and missing practices, things like that. So it's... He really performed well for Canada in the Pan Am.
Yeah, he games. Did.
And he's a player with a lot of promise, so hopefully get these maturity issues sorted out, because we'd love to see a player of his quality continue to grow and be a top forward for Canadian national team.
All even right. In the NASL, he could be one of the top players in the NASL.
Oh, yeah.
In a couple of years.
Easy.
So the question of the week for this week will be...
Ooh.
Which player has surprised you the most so far?
On the Fury or in the NASL? Or both?
Sure, let's do both. NASL, Fury, and why?
Well, it's going to be some interesting.
Yeah, and you can reply to us on Twitter where we are OI
T Fury, because John can't remember that.
We could have done Fury Pod, okay? Or on Facebook, where we're you just search for Ours Is the Fury and it comes up, or email oursisthefurypodcast@gmail.com. I am John. This is Ryan.
Hello.
Toodles.
Again, I can stone again. Make your move while there's still time.
We need to make more commercials.
Ours Is a Fury Podcast, now with 200% more gluten.
You're listening to Ours Is the Fury, the number one podcast for the number one team in the world.
This is Ours Is the Fury Podcast with a Game of Thrones spoiler in every episode.
They all die.
Ours Is the Fury Podcast. Don't forget to berate us on iTunes.
Ours Is the Fury Podcast. The best podcast about the best Canadian NASL team, not the worst NASL team, which is FC Edmonton.
Ours Is a Fury Podcast. This week we'll be reviewing the last podcast.
Seriously, why are you still listening? Like, you must have something else to do.